And in our first reading today, from Proverbs chapter 1, we hear someone or something speaking. And they're saying this: whoever listens to me will live in safety and will be at ease without fear of harm. That sounds pretty nice, right? We want that, don't we? Yeah. But who's speaking there? Who is me? Who is it that we're supposed to listen to? It's not King Solomon. It's from Proverbs, but it's not Solomon. He wrote it, but he's not the me that he's referring to. So who is it? Well, normally, in a passage like that, absolutely, it would be God, and it typically would be, yeah. But here, it's presented a little bit differently. The speaker, the me, is presented here by Solomon as the personification of a virtue. And it's given a female personification. And the virtue is wisdom. It's wisdom. That's who's speaking here. That's who me is, wisdom. And she, it says, is shouting out loud and wanting to be heard. Proverbs 1, verses 20 and 21, King Solomon says this: wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice. She cries out and makes her speech. And she, wisdom, goes on to say that the foolish and the gullible will ignore her. And what will happen? Disaster. Disaster will strike them. But whoever listens to her will live in safety and without fear. The Bible makes a strong connection pretty much throughout between safety and security and heavenly wisdom. And the book of James gives, I think, one of the best, you know, overviews of heavenly wisdom. And it begins with our second reading today. We heard from Linda in James chapter 3. In verse 5, James, who's the brother of Jesus, makes this observation. He notes that the human tongue can be like a spark that starts a forest fire. Yeah. And he says, quote, it's full of deadly poison. Ugh, right? Full of deadly poison. But here's the thing. Here's the good news. You don't have to unleash that poison. It can be controlled. But how? With wisdom. With wisdom. If we listen to her, we listen to wisdom, heavenly wisdom, that's how we can avoid, you know, starting the fire and how we can keep the peace. In James chapter 3, verse 17, we get a great description of heavenly wisdom, and we've read it here many times. It says this: the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, humble, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Pretty nice list. Be a nice list for the kitchen wall, right up there with fruits of the Spirit, right? And then James concludes the thought in verse 18. He says this: those who sow in peace reap the harvest of righteousness. Connects peace to righteousness. Okay, does God and the Bible want us to have peace and to be without fear. Absolutely, right? Yes, that's obvious. That is obvious. And do we want that for ourselves? How about for our kids and grandkids? Yes, yes, of course. Safety and security is a fundamental human need. Okay, now here we go. Here we go. Does anyone remember the Maslow needs hierarchy? I figured you would. Now, if you went to Cacalico, you probably never heard of this. That's what I'm thinking. No, he never heard of it, right? But if you went to Garden Spot or, you know, Ephrata, you were probably taught about the Maslow needs hierarchy. Nancy remembers it. It's a pyramid. Now, it's two-dimensional, so it's really looks like a triangle, but it's shaped like a pyramid that shows five different categories of human needs. Okay? I should have printed out a copy of this for you, but then you'd be distracted. Now, if you picture this pyramid, okay, the bottom layer, of course, is the widest and is the foundation. Right? And those needs on the bottom layer, they're foundational. They're our physical needs, like breathing and eating. Okay? Makes sense. Those are your first and most basic priorities in life. Your physical needs. But just above that, the next layer is safety and security. Also very, very foundational. Very foundational human needs. Second only to eating and breathing. Safety and security. Okay, now follow this briefly. There are three other levels on the Maslow needs hierarchy. And by the way, nobody else in the country is talking about the Maslow needs hierarchy, but they should be, right? They should be. Only here at St. Paul's in Bowmanville, Pennsylvania. Now, the other levels of human needs include things like, you know, love and belonging and self-esteem, feeling valued, yeah? And then at the very top of the pyramid, at the peak, it's called self-actualization, which includes things like creativity, a sense of purpose, morality, and having meaning in your life. Yeah? All important and all certainly nice to have, right? Assuming what? That you're living and breathing. Yeah? Nice to have as long as you're living and breathing. Because those, the living and breathing stuff, those are the foundational needs. And that is the issue here throughout all these readings today. We need those foundational things to be intact. And in our gospel reading today, we see Maslow's needs hierarchy on full display. He disagrees with me, but I'm right on this. It pretty much explains the whole gospel story. Now, this is from Mark chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. When Jesus tells the disciples that he's going to be taken and killed soon. And it says there, he spoke plainly about this. He didn't sugarcoat it. Okay, so now again, think of that human needs hierarchy. These guys, the disciples, right, had all the kind of nice things towards the top of the pyramid, like purpose and love and belonging and morality and friendship, all that great, important stuff. They had that with Jesus, right, for 3 years, for sure. All that stuff at the top of the pyramid. I mean, what a great time that had. Think about that. What a great time that had to be for those guys, right? Those 3 years traveling around with Jesus, right? That was great. And it was great until what? until Jesus told him what was about to happen. Yeah, come on up. And then suddenly, the safety and security in their foundation disappeared. You with me on this? And so Peter's reaction was totally understandable. And Jesus understood it because he understood Maslow's needs hierarchy. Of course he did, right? Absolutely, and it makes sense. It makes perfect sense. He's angry because he didn't get his children's story time. He won't fall far. You know he didn't get his children's story time.
I know.
We'll do it later.
All right.
Don't worry about it. These people are mesmerized by this Maslow stuff. Okay, so Peter's, again, back to the story. Peter's reaction here was normal. I mean, really, you think about it, how else could he react to finding that out, right? How else would he react? But for Jesus, even though, yeah, he was fully human, he knew that his mission on earth transcended his human needs. His mission transcended the hierarchy. His human need for safety and security, even though it was brutally difficult even for him, if you remember, it had to be set aside for our benefit. He had to set his human need for safety and security aside for us because he knew his mission had to lead him to the cross. And that's just what, that was just the way it was. Okay, this past Wednesday morning was 9/11. And on that morning, I had a bunch of stuff, thoughts, kind of emotions, swirling around in my head, as many of you may have too. First and foremost was the 9/11 remembrance. I turned the TV on at around 9 a.m., and I was watching the ceremonies and stuff. Maybe some of you were also. And in connection with the events of 9/11, and also thinking about current events and pondering our message for this Sunday, there were two words that popped into my so-called brain. And the words were, be vigilant. Now, maybe I heard somebody say it on TV. I don't know. But suddenly, those words were really kind of plastered into my brain. It seemed really clear to me that that was the message for that moment. And I actually came over to the church and put those words on our sign. I don't know if you noticed it. That's what our sign says out front. Be vigilant. Now, with the benefit of hindsight, we know we could have been more vigilant prior to 9/11, 2001. There's things we could have done and should have done. And I wonder, should we be more vigilant today? And maybe we won't know until we've got the hindsight on that too. I don't know. Because something I think can be a problem for us today, and apparently has been a problem throughout history, including back with Solomon in Solomon's time, is that we might focus so much on the top of the needs pyramid that we neglect our foundational safety and security. And maybe we don't realize that until it's too late. King Solomon said in verses 32 and 33, the waywardness of the simple, the naive, gullible, will kill them. Yeah, right? Oh, yeah. A lack of focus on safety and security can get you killed, right? Yep, that's a true statement. And he says, the complacency of fools will destroy them. Complacency, waywardness. I mean, pretty much the opposite of vigilance. Yeah, I think so, right? I think so. So my question for us to ponder, as individuals, as a church, and as a country, are we being vigilant? Or are we wayward and complacent? Because guess what? Just like it was on September 10th of 2001, the world is a dangerous place. And unfortunately, there is evil in the world. And also, sadly, the people we rely on to lead us and protect us don't always do a great job. I mean, they're human. They're just human beings. And brace yourselves. They're not always telling us the truth. Can you believe that? So what do we do? What do we do? Do we live in fear? No, no, the Bible tells us not to do that. It tells us to be wise. Yeah, we need to work on that, right? We work hard on that. That's not easy. And it also tells us, are you ready? The Bible tells us to be vigilant. Yes, it does. 1 Peter 5:8. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is like a lion seeking to devour you. Ugh. Yeah, I mean, okay, as we said, I mean, that is a nasty fact of life. There's danger and evil in the world, and it'll try to get you. It'll try to devour you. But, that verse doesn't tell you to be afraid. It tells you to be vigilant. And here's a couple more. 1 Corinthians 16, be watchful and alert. Mark 13, be on guard, be awake. Luke 12, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. 1 Thessalonians, keep awake and be sober, right? By all means. Okay, and in closing, here are the words of our own St. Paul, not from one of his letters. This is from the book of Acts. He's quoted in the book of Acts, chapter 20. And he says this, be shepherds of the church of God. Wolves will come and will not spare the flock. And leaders among you will distort the truth to deceive the people. So be on your guard. So in the days, weeks, and years ahead, for our sake and the sake of those who follow, let's be wise and be vigilant. Amen.